Hello, everyone, and here we are in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, at the Inn of the Ozarks. And we are, of course, at the Ozark UFO Conference. 20th year, can you imagine that? Lots of people here. A little cool. Not Easter for a change. A lot of times the date falls on Easter. Eureka Springs, a beautiful place. We urge you to come by here and visit sometime. It's a wonderful, wonderful vacation spot. Kind of like Switzerland in Arkansas. We have some pretty interesting things today on our show. Sam Morano will be here. He is with MUFON Illinois. And you probably know him from our shows on the O'Hare incident and other things. He's going to tell us about a creature in the trees up in Wisconsin connected with UFO sightings, among other things. And then later on, we will have Paul Von Ward. And Paul will talk about ancient mysteries. He'll actually try to tie down biblical and historical terms, myth and legend, in what he believes, and I believe I'm stating it correctly, that the Earth has been visited by extraterrestrials from other galaxies and other planets for eons. A long time, in other words. Yeah, we have an interesting show. Roberta Scott is our producer. We'll be right back, and Sam Morano will be here. I think you'll find this a very interesting interview. He's going to talk about some people I know about up in Wisconsin. Flush it out for us a little bit. So don't go away. But first, this word. Why visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona? Marv Mason knows why.
Mainly because the Grand Canyon is known as one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
No one gives a more personalized tour or knows more about the Grand Canyon than Marvelous Marv.
My main thing is education on the geology, because the Grand Canyon is a life record. It shows us where we were at one time on the planet with the continental drift and all the layers that were laid down by sediments, and then how the canyon was carved. And, of course, the views, you know, a picture doesn't do it justice. But it's nice to have somebody there tell you about it that's lived there.
It's the best way to tour the Grand Canyon. Marv picks you up in a modern van at your hotel in the Grand Canyon area and takes you on a day-long tour. Contact Marvelous Marv Vacation Tours. Call and talk to him personally. 928-707-0291. Or visit his website.
MarvelousMarv.com. Real easy, real easy.
Well, here we are at the Ozark UFO Festival. And I call it a festival because it's so much fun here in Eureka Springs. And we have a witness of that who took a lot of fun with him last night, Sam Moranto.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling the fun today.
Actually, they have a little get-together after everything's over here, at this little, I don't know the name of the place, a club or a bar or whatever.
They call it the, the something saloon, the Lone Star Saloon.
Yeah, that's it, the Lone Star Saloon.
Yeah, and I'm feeling kick of the Lone Star today.
And, of course, He didn't have that much, folks. It's just the fact that you're not used to that.
No, I'm not a drinker, so I had myself a couple drinks and wanted to salute the other guys that were here and done a great job and tied up in the festivity.
Yeah,
I guess.
The only reason I mentioned is not to say that the director on in Illinois is drunk. it was the fact that that's one of the important things about these conferences is camaraderie, and you get to meet each other and you've known each other.
Sure.
And you get to see each other in person, and
that's a perfect, you know, like you were we were talking earlier. Here we talk to these people via internet, or we see each other in documentaries, or hear about certain cases over the internet, radio, television, whatever. But it's rarely an occasion we get to see each other. Here you have Timothy Good coming in from England to the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. This is a fine gentleman. Takes his time. Actually spends money to get here. I mean, the end result is these trips cost you money, you know, for these speakers.
Sure.
And I think it's a labor of the heart.
Well, sure it is. No doubt about it. We get a lot of things that we've talked about over the years, and How is our friend Sean doing up in Wisconsin these days?
Sean and Robin are doing very well, and I try to speak to them at least once a week. We used to speak, as you recall, back in the heyday of all the strange stuff going on. We used to speak a couple times a day, but he's doing really well. Things are really coming to a degree of control, normalcy, whatever you want to call it. I think the whole interaction of this very strange event to them was uplifting in the long run, though it was extremely frightening, extremely unusual.
Right. And if they want to know what we're talking about, and we're going to get you a little closer to that mic simply because of the background noise here, is the fact that we have an interview of Sean on our website that you can go to. And click on it. It's still there. We did it several years ago. And Sam got involved in the investigation. And some of those things are really phenomenal.
Yes, hands down.
What's happening there.
Jared, those things, I'm saying things on tape that I've only heard about. In other words, phenomena with UFOs coming out of the clouds, rotating triangular disks, objects that look like carpenter's angles, rectangles, etc., actually coming out of clouds, rotating, giving off their own illusion of clouds, atmospheric disturbance, etc. And he has this all on tape, you know. And we actually sat down, I and his wife, 12 hours of footage.
I talked to her on the phone too.
Isn't she a sweetheart?
Quite sincere.
Yeah, she's straightforward. No BS. Yeah. This is a genuine, straightforward person.
Either you mentioned it to me or he did or somebody, something about it. He needed a flatbed truck at one time. What was that about?
He calls me up on Easter, right? Yeah. I'm coming home from, we had a get-together dinner, the whole thing. And so here it was 2 years ago. He calls me up. I'm walking in the door, and the phone's ringing, and he's all hysterical. The tree crawlers are here. Understand, we gave names to each type of unusual creature. And believe me, these things that were there appeared to be living things. And everything that he witnessed seemed to be, these are living things, secreting some type of, I don't know if it's a saliva or what, you know, purpose this the secretion is. But and they have eyes. I have footage of this stuff that, or I should say he has footage that I've done enhancements on, but we're really holding off on this to have it all analyzed, to have it all assembled, and bring this out as the case that it should be. And this way, it's not going to be debunked, and people aren't going to laugh at it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be credibility in back of it.
So there will be something that you can see, I guess, if you needed a truck.
Oh, yes. He shot this darn thing, and I don't know how many times he was shooting at it with his high-powered 22. Getting back to that. Thanks for bringing me back there, by the way. And I got off on the track. But I call up John Schuessler. Hey, John, got a guy up here, our guy in Fredericks, shot this thing, and he thinks that he killed it, and it may be falling out of the tree. What should I do with it? He says, well, just go up there, get it, stick it in the bag, bring it to a university, and have him analyze it. I go, wait a minute. We don't have a certain protocol for this. And second of all, the object's so big, I'm going to need a flatbed truck.
Yeah.
He goes, what? I go, yes. So luckily, what it was, whatever it was still alive, and it moved away. But he did shoot it. He shot at it a couple times. First of all, he thought it was some turkey in the tree. When he looked at it and was moving closer, it was substantially larger than a turkey.
Did it ever fall to the ground?
No, it actually it crawled away, moved through the trees. Uh-huh. And when this thing moves through the trees, it moves the entire trees. And
these I'm sure, because it's big.
Oh, it's massive. And from what I see, it looks like it does have an eye. Now, if this is some sort of biotechnology, I don't know. But it's truly unusual. It knows how to cloak itself into the environment. And it has scales much like, or skin much like a Gila monster.
Oh, really?
Yes. He calls it, he refers to it, when he sees it, he says it looks like a placosomus, an algae-eating fish that you'd find in a fish tank. They usually come from the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he describes it. It looks like a big placosomus. So what in the heck is this? I don't know. I don't know if the aliens came there because of all this UFO activity and they just let the zoo out to eat. I don't know.
Yeah, right. We understand. Or maybe it's their pet.
It's their pet, yes. Let Fluffy out to do its thing.
Well, you know, some people have boa constrictors as pets.
Yeah, so maybe they got monster placosomus that crawl in trees, you know, and peek in windows, by the way. It does love to go near the windows and watch them. But that's a type of unusual activity to boot the usual UFOs, orbs, extremely large craft. The other thing is, he may have told you about the object that was hovering over his house for days on end, and it looked like a hole in the sky, and it had notches on it. He referred to it as if it was bit by a shark, and I finally tried, you know, the thing is, people talk only within their own realm of experience. Well, his terminology is far different than what I was able to, you know, relate to, and actually, Rob helped quite a bit in determining.
Rob Kutowski in Phoenix. And we have another show coming up. Rob, and we'll see him this fall as well. Maybe you can come out to Chicago. I'm from Chicago out to Phoenix.
I hope to. I've been threatening him. I'm going to be down there doing some
research.
Well,
maybe we can all get there at the same time.
That's the best thing. And what we've been, as you know, during that whole episode, these things were going on simultaneously, Fredericks and the events out there in Arizona. So I would have Sean on the line with Rob, and funny thing is the two of them were talking about the same things, describing it a little bit different. You know, for instance, these unusual tubes that looked like lucite tubes. They would be there, and it looks like to me, from what I'm seeing, some sort of webbing or fabric of possible dimensional fabric. So some of these experiments or experiences may have to do with dimensional objects.
Yeah, we've been out to Rob's house, and there's definitely something going on, and it might be interdimensional. He just kind of shows up, creeps around.
Well, you saw it firsthand. It scared the hell out of you.
No doubt about it. And Sean, you know, he and his wife are scared a lot. I think
yes.
They calmed down a little bit now. But
yeah, they calmed down. My wife Julie and I, we went up there to see them, and we just love them. They're like family to us, and you know, and they have a daughter there, which is, of course, his main concern. You have to realize, during this whole episode, he was going through what would be post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and part of that is the hypervigilance where you're staying.
Well, actually, that probably enabled him to see some more of this stuff, probably.
He was able to stay up at night because he wouldn't go to bed.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, of course, we had mentioned the implants in his eyes, and I'm sure he mentioned that too. Vic Connor went up there in November. I had to go down to the Ozarks. It was both a trip and an investigation. So I was gone, but I was able to monitor the investigation.
Yeah.
Vic Connor went up there during that period of time, said that there was two metallic objects that were, I believe, hexagon shape as far as the drawings, in next to the iris, an exact location, both eyes. By the time I got to see him later, I believe it was November, and he came down to the house, as he had a couple times. There was actually a growth over it. In other words, the eye covered it up with its own growth, and it was no longer visible. But I had asked him prior to this to go into the bathroom and use a black light to look over himself, and he says, "What am I supposed to look for?" Well, you know, I would never reveal what you're supposed to look for. I don't know if there's anything there. I just want you to tell me what you see. And he saw these objects in his eye just glowing. And it's much unlike any sort of eye injury. Usually a scar tissue will also do that, or a bacteria in the eye. You'll have some sort of luminescence. It was truly different and in the same location.
Wow.
But since that point, he's been able to see, it appears to be, and we're going to have to do further tests, but he's able to see wider ranges of the infrared and the ultraviolet from what I could detect so far. And if we could play this out through, you know, prove it through some experimentation, I think it'll be interesting. The other thing is those items have been seen in his eye by an optometrist, and yes, they are there.
You've been up to Wisconsin. I get the idea that they live pretty far out someplace, and
they're about a mile out of a very nice town, relatively small. It's an extremely wooded area, and it's also part of what would be the Ice Age Trail, which means that this area was not destroyed in the last glacial period, which I believe, let's see, Never Kick Indian Woman, isn't it? And so it was Wisconsin period.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful area, a lot of ferns.
But it's isolated.
Oh, it's isolated. Right. But it's not to the point that, you know, it's thousands of miles or hundreds of miles, or for that matter, even 10 miles away from civilization. He has people literally across the street and probably about a quarter mile from each other.
Any of those other people see anything?
Absolutely. This is an area that has a history of UFO activity. A major sighting was seen literally in the town over the lake. And one gentleman started telling him about it, but we're trying to find historical documents on that. There was also a very large and well-known case in the 50s where a hairy, small humanoid was seen actually just down the road from him. So, and that's a known case. And I think, I don't know if it's an ICAP case or, I don't know. I'd have to find out.
What's the name of that town Sean lives in?
Fredericks.
Okay. In case somebody wanted to check it out on a map or something.
Check it out on a map. Don't go up there.
Yeah, right.
Don't bother the man. Remember what the thing in the tree got? You might get it too. So don't go bother the man.
Well, that's not something that a lot of curiosity seekers should be around, I don't think.
Well, he had people bothering him, but these people were driving around in black Suburbans with whip antennas, and they came right up to his property.
That doesn't sound like a tourist.
No, it sounds like a agency of some sort. And then they had one of these fiber optic telescopes peeking through the floor. The wife, Robin, called me up in tears, screaming and saying, well, what are they doing? What's going on? I tell you what, I lived through this, obviously at a distance, at a comfortable distance, and still felt the terror these people were going through. And not every UFO experience or extraterrestrial contact is something that's going to be a very comforting experience. Some are terrifying.
Some of them, they're scarred for life. Others are, of course, it's all life-changing, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if we could put a percentage on it or not. Maybe half and half, or 80%, 60%. Really have repercussions.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I would say so.
Yeah. That of course don't hold us to that statistic,
no.
Folks.
No.
We haven't. It's the Jerry Pippin Institute of Knowledge, so you can take that for what it's worth. Sam Maranto is our guest, and, of course, he is the director of MUFON for Illinois. And it's about a 10-hour drive from Chicago down here, I think.
It's a pleasurable ride, usually. And some, you know, this is what I'm going to do right now is actually give a little bit of good tiding for this group here. This is a magnificent group of people. First of all, if you haven't been down here, do it. It's a reasonable, enjoyable, but reasonable conference compared to many others. And all are good. Remember, all are good. But this one here has got a certain feel about it. And, boy, I love it. It's great.
Oh,
you've been here so many
people
times.
Keep coming back that come.
Yeah. And then Lou just does a fantastic job putting this together.
And let's give the MUFON website, or does Illinois have something separate?
Illinois has its own website. We're still redoing it. The other thing is, if you would like to get in contact with me, you can always call me at 708-460-7606. Again, that is 708-460-7606. Check out the MUFON site, the international site, which is www.mufon.com. If you'd like to file a report there, you can do it. It's very convenient. It'll be forwarded to whichever director it needs to go to. And, Jared, thank you very much.
I've enjoyed it. You have a safe trip back to Chicago, and we'll be talking soon, and maybe we'll see each other in Phoenix.
I hope so, my friend.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Sam Maranto is our guest, and he's director of MUFON in Illinois. I am Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the end of the Ozarks. The Elvis Presley story. The collector's item thought to be extinct until recently. Now, all 13 hours of this famous worldwide radio broadcast series, produced in the 70s by rock and roll legend Ron Jacobs from Watermark Productions and heard around the world and hosted by Wink Martindale, is now available on CD. Hear the complete story, from the cradle to the grave, Elvis Presley. He was truly the king of rock and roll. The Elvis Presley story is a collector's item, with all of the music and the people who made Elvis the king of rock and roll. Order now. Limited time discount price, $39.95 plus $5.95 shipping. Don't miss the Elvis Presley story, available to you exclusively through this radio offer. Order now the Elvis Presley story. Hurry, supply is limited.